All it took to get the nation's largest liberal arts college for women off the ground were a few remarkable twists of fate and the conviction of one remarkable woman at a time when the idea of women being educated was far from accepted.
This was a unique event.
John M. Connolly is a retired Smith College professor and former acting president of the school.
Sophia Smith was, as far as we can tell, as far as we know, the first woman in history to establish a liberal arts college with the goal, as she said explicitly in her will, to provide to women the educational opportunities that are currently provided to men in our colleges. And she had in mind Harvard, Yale, and Amherst.
Smith was one of six children born to a wealthy farming family in Hatfield, Massachusetts.
She had a in many ways, unremarkable life. She was largely self-educated. She had the usual education that a girl from a well-to-do family would have at that time. She didn't, you know, wasn't very active in the public sphere.
Add to that fact that by age 40, Smith had started to go deaf. All signs pointed to obscurity as her legacy.
What changed her life forever and led to the founding of Smith College was a kind of family accident.
In 1861, when she was in her 60s, the last of Sophia's five siblings died. None of them had any living children. That left the unmarried Sophia as the sole heir to her family's collective fortune. She was suddenly very rich and completely alone.
She herself regarded this whole process in the 1860s, what to do with my sudden wealth, as a spiritual enigma. That is to say, she had to figure out why it was that God had done this for her or to her.
Smith sought counsel and found a partner in her young pastor, Reverend John M. Green. The two talked through a number of ideas over the years. Sophia, inspired by the recent establishment of Vassar College, favored starting a college for women right here in Massachusetts.
Green didn't think it was a good idea, but letters were written to various prominent educators, including the president of Harvard, all of whom tried to dissuade her from this notion.
And they succeeded. Instead, she would use the money to start a school for the deaf. And then fate once again stepped in.
In the latter part of the 1860s, Alexander Graham Bell and a man named Clark established a school for the deaf here in Northampton.
And so Smith returned with renewed resolve to her original plan. She named a board of trustees that included Reverend Green, and on March 8, 1870, established in her last will and testament that her fortune would be used to create a women's college in nearby Northampton, Massachusetts. 3 months later, Smith was dead. The board carried the task to completion, and in 1876, Smith College opened its doors to its first class, 14 women.
The students, they were going to show the world that they could be every bit as good as their brothers.
Smith College's impressive roster of alumni include Julia Child, Nancy Reagan, Gloria Steinem, and Sylvia Plath, to name just a few. Professor Connolly says that nearly 150 years on, Smith would approve of how her money was spent.
If she stepped into Nielsen Library here, which, by the way, is the largest undergraduate library in the country, she would say, oh my, yes, this is what I had in mind.
Smith College, set in motion by Sophia Smith's family fortune and a stroke of her pen, 145 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwig III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.
But the people, they say that the men are leading the women astray. But I say that the women of today smarter than the man in every way. That's right, the woman is smarter. That's right, the woman is smarter. That's right, the woman is smarter. That's right, that's right. Ever since the world began, woman was always teaching man. And if you listen to my bit attentively, I'm going to tell you how she smarter than he and not me. But the people, they say that the men are leading the women astray. But I say that the women of today smarter than the man in every